We now bring to these microphones David James. David joins me for a conversation weekly right here on Prophecy Today Weekend with the purpose of discussing an issue that is confronting the body of Christ and how do we deal with that issue from a biblical perspective. Many people are telling us they enjoy eavesdropping on the conversation and they're learning very, very much information that they need to have for their own daily walk with the Lord and their biblical worldview. Well, David, this week we're going to do something just a bit different. We're going to discuss something that normally we don't talk about. And in fact, they say don't talk about religion and politics. But ahead of the CNN Republican presidential candidate debate on September the 16th, I want us to take a moment and look at the candidates and where they stand on several very important issues. Now, first of all, let's discuss why it is important for us to deal with this subject, this topic, this time.
Well, good to be with you again, Jimmy. Yeah, I do think it's important that we discuss it because, you know, it's really impossible to separate a man from his message, a man or a woman from their message. And their worldview informs the policies that they seek to put into place and what they support and how they lead. So since you really can't separate out the two, when you discuss religion, you're almost inevitably, you have to discuss politics, especially when you're talking about the position, the leader of the most powerful country in the world and arguably the most powerful position in the world.
You know, many, many people argue that Christians should not get involved in politics. Now, I just want to give a little past history for me. In 1976, I ran for United States Congress. In 1975, I ran for school board in Scroon Lake, New York. And this was unheard of for the Christian community to get involved in local politics. And then I was encouraged to run for the United States Congress. It goes without saying I didn't win or I'd probably be there in the United States Congress still today. However, they would continually tell me that this is not a position for a good Christian. But there are biblical bases for using your right to vote as believers, at least a part of exercising that franchise that we do have.
Well, yes, I would agree. You know, you and I both firmly agree that we're not going to change society through legislation. Society has only changed one person at a time as they come to faith in Jesus Christ and their lives are changed. On the other hand, we live in a country that is built on the freedom of religion and also the freedom of expression and allowing the population to be a part of the political process, especially through voting and also becoming a politician as well. Of course, that's a potentially dangerous issue because of the compromise that's often involved. But if you look in the Old Testament, for example, you have Joseph and Daniel as clear examples of men who were brought up into the political structure and the ruling structure of those governments, and they were able to influence them positively and affect change. And, you know, we have this freedom, and I believe that God has blessed America because of these freedoms that no other nation has had. And so, you know, we are to be salt and light, and one of the ways that we can do that is be by participating, at least by voting. And I think it's not only a right, but it's a responsibility to exercise that right as believers.
Well, I agree absolutely 100% with that thought. Every one of us need to either be quiet or exercise our franchise, and then you have a say in who is going to maybe lead your community or your school board. And by the way, the school board is probably the basic beginning for the political arena. Everybody talks about running for president. We ought to have people running for school board, and I would suggest that Christians could be involved. Now, for me personally, Judy and I, through our quiet time, came to the conclusion that I should get out of the political arena. I, as you just mentioned, said to myself in my prayer time, hey, wait a minute, do I want to stand before the Lord and say, look at all the laws I got passed, or look at all the people I impacted for you, dear Jesus, and for your biblical lifestyle? But I do believe Christians need to get involved, at least, as you said, exercising their franchise to vote. Well, in general, should we only vote for someone who shares our theological views, David?
Well, I know that some people hold that view, and for that reason, sometimes they don't vote at all because there are no candidates that hold their particular theological views. But I think one of the things that we need to remember is that's a little bit of a narrow view of our responsibility and what we should be involved with. You know, we're not involved with voting in the theologian-in-chief or the pastor-in-chief. We're looking for those whose worldview is informed by the scriptures, and they have a biblical worldview. And, you know, there are people who have a biblical worldview in general who may disagree with us, or we may not agree with them on specific theological views. The fact is, somebody is going to be voted into office, and so I think we can just do the research and find those who really are living out a biblical worldview, whether we agree completely theologically or not.
David, on this upcoming CNN Republican presidential candidate debate, there'll be 10, possibly 11 candidates participating in this debate. Let's note who these are first before we talk about anything else.
Right. Well, CNN has decided on adding the 11th podium, and this is largely because of Carly Fiorina moving so dramatically since her debate performance with Fox News in August. But you have the 11 would be Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, Carly Fiorina, Mike Huckabee, John Kasich, Chris Christie, and Rand Paul. Those would be the top 11.
And these would be the ones that are going to stand publicly before the United States of America and the electorate and discuss where they stand on certain issues, how they would differ from some of the other candidates as well. Well, I think that we want to know something about what their stands are as it relates to the political issue. But let's first take a look at the forerunners, since it's most likely one of them will be the Republican nominee. Who are they, and what would be their religious affiliations?
Well, the front runner, the very top front runner, would be Donald Trump. And according to a Real Clear Politics poll, he is at 27% and is over twice the next candidate, which is Ben Carson at 13. Donald Trump is a Presbyterian, or claims to be a Presbyterian, has attended a Presbyterian church, but his church, even the church he claims to attend, says he's not a member and doesn't attend regularly. One thing that, to be honest with you, bothered me was his rally in Alabama last month, where he said that the Bible was his number one book, and yet in a follow-up interview he couldn't cite even a favorite passage, and it seemed like he was even pandering to the audience. I don't know. Ben Carson is a Seventh-day Adventist, which would advocate Sabbath worship and observation of the Old Testament laws, but the truth is he speaks like a conservative evangelical. He does say the Adventist denomination is the only spiritual home he's ever known, but he's very conservative and holds to what I would consider a biblical worldview in general. You have Jeb Bush at number 9. He was an Episcopal, as his father was, and he converted to his wife's Roman Catholicism in 1994. Ted Cruz is at about 7%. Christianity Today described him as a committed Southern Baptist, and in fact he made a very good statement. He said, at the end of the day, faith is not organized religion, it's not going to church, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so that's a very strong statement, I would say. Marco Rubio, he grew up Roman Catholic, he attended a Mormon church for a while, then went back to the Catholic Church, after that, and about 10 or 15 years ago, his wife and children started attending a Southern Baptist church, but now they've all gone back to attending the Catholic Church regularly. So I would say he's primarily Catholic in his viewpoints. Scott Walker, his father is a Baptist pastor, and Walker was a deacon in a Baptist church, but now he attends a non-denominational evangelical church, and the reason he left the Baptist church is because it was going liberal. And then finally, Carly Fiorina, she's not necessarily a front runner, but she's moving up, so I just wanted to mention her. She's an Episcopal, but she had some tragedies in her life with the death of her stepdaughter in 2009, and then she also personally battled breast cancer. And in talking about those things, she made this statement: "I'm quite certain that I would not have been able to endure those without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ." So those are the front runners in their particular standings right now.
Well, and just one more additional. He may not be a front runner, but Mike Huckabee was a Baptist preacher himself, and he comes out of Hope, Arkansas, where another president of the past came from as well. That's Bill Clinton. But actually, Huckabee, after leaving Hope, Arkansas, went over to Texarkana, and there he was the pastor of a pretty large Southern Baptist church over there. Well, David, our time is running out as far as this discussion is concerned. I would really like to know where these front runners stand on abortion and gay marriage and some of their other religious and social conservative stands on these issues. I think we need to have a two-parter on this, so I think we can continue this next week, and then we'll talk about what the Bible also says, that our responsibility, beyond giving a vote to one of the candidates that we think would be the best president, we should do as it relates to government and also these candidates and how our prayer life should be a part of what we exercise as well. Does that sound good to you, David? Can we do that again for next week?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, and I agree. It's an important issue, and there's a lot more to discuss, and it is really too much to try to cram into a single program, so I look forward to following up this next week and get into some of the details.